It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll continue our look at alcohol in Wisconsin. Today, we'll talk about the human toll of drunk driving here in the state and efforts to stop it. First, imagine this. You want some pancakes? The recipe calls for buttermilk. You go to the store, you buy a quart, and let's be honest, you use at most half the container. Then it hangs out in your fridge for a few weeks before you throw the rest away. Well, on Central Time, there's no judgments. Plenty of people have been flummoxed by the fermented dairy product and how to use it outside of the occasional pancake. And if you're really wild, a batch of biscuits. But fear not, our next guest is here to talk about buttermilk and share recipes that use the ingredient in new and fun ways on this edition of Food Friday. Molly Boz is the Senior Associate Food Editor at Bon Appetit. Molly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Molly, I am not a buttermilk convert. I've probably made buttermilk pancakes maybe twice in my life in the midst of a lot of other cooking. Can you sell me on buttermilk?
Sure. So the reason that I think buttermilk is such an amazing ingredient is because not only does it provide creaminess and fat to whatever you're putting it in, but it also provides tang at the same time. And there are a few other ingredients out there that actually do the same thing. Sour cream acts in a similar way, but is a bit thicker. But buttermilk is incredible because it has magical powers in baking, but it's also very dynamic in savory cooking. So a lot of the recipes that I've used it in and that are on Bon Appetit website actually use it in savory applications.
And before we get into some of those recipes, what exactly is buttermilk?
So historically, buttermilk was the byproduct that was created, that's left over when you churn butter out of cream. And so that liquid that's expelled once the butter comes together was buttermilk. These days, the buttermilk that you'll find in a grocery store is actually just acidulated milk. So that basically just means some sort of acid is added to milk, which curdles it and turns it into buttermilk. Which is also why, in a pinch, if you are making a recipe, let's say for buttermilk pancakes, realize that you're out of buttermilk or you forgot to pick it up, you can acidulate your own milk with a little bit of lemon juice. So in short, the buttermilk that you're likely to find today is just acidulated milk.
And we've added the word acidulate to our repertoire. That's great. I'm glad to have that. Now, what is it about that tang and that, a little bit curdled action that makes buttermilk good in baked goods? What does that do then in the process?
So there's two ways that it works. One of the ways, and the reason that it traditionally is used in baking, is that before baking powder was even in existence, we only had baking soda. And baking soda only activates in the presence of something acidic. So you needed something like buttermilk or sour cream in a baked good in order for the baked good to rise and create lift. And then baking powder was created, which away the necessity for buttermilk, but there's another thing that it does, which is that it helps through its acidity to break down some of the tough strands of gluten that are likely to form in a baked good. So in its absence, that baked good would actually be less tender.
And can I just freely substitute buttermilk for milk in recipes, or do I have to watch out for what else is in the recipe before I make that call?
You would want to watch out because, again, milk is not activated by baking soda. It would be activated in the presence of baking powder. So you'd want to adjust your ratios of baking powder and baking soda according to what swaps you're making. So I wouldn't just go freely substituting it when it comes to baked goods. On the other hand, if you are using it in something like a salad dressing or a cream sauce or as a brine for chicken, you could substitute milk for it, and especially milk that's been acidulated.
We're talking to Molly Boz from Bon Appetit. It is Food Friday, and we're cooking today with buttermilk. We have some links on the Ideas Network Facebook page to some Bon Appetit recipes involving buttermilk. And Molly, let's talk about one of those. This is a classic, I guess, the buttermilk biscuit, and Bon Appetit has this recipe, Bon Appetit's best buttermilk biscuits. So what makes this one so good?
Well, the buttermilk in this recipe acts in the way that I spoke to earlier, which is creating that lift and that rise with the quarter teaspoon. There's a quarter teaspoon of baking soda in this recipe. And then beyond that, what makes this recipe so amazing is actually the process by which you stack the pieces of dough on top of each other and then press down on them, which creates this insane amount of layers in the biscuit. So highly recommend you go make this recipe. It's one of our greats.
And is there a way that people often go wrong when they're making buttermilk biscuits?
I think overworking a biscuit is the worst thing you can do to it. So it takes a little bit of practice to know when your biscuit is, when the dough has been kneaded just enough and not too much. But you're basically looking for, once the buttermilk has been added, the gluten starts to activate. And so once the liquid and the dry ingredients combine, you need to be careful not to overwork the dough. You're looking for a shaggy dough that can be partitioned out into several squares and then stacked up on one another and pushed down to create a very compact biscuit that puffs up in layers in the oven.
I've heard similar things with pancakes. If you overstir it, you stir it too long, it kind of ruins the whole thing.
Sure, it's the same thing. Any baked good will work the same way. Basically, the enemy of a baked good is toughness, and toughness is created through overworking the gluten, which comes from the flour. So the more you overwork a batter, or the more you overknead your dough for your biscuits, the more gluten is formed, which is why buttermilk is such a necessary ingredient, because it helps halt some of that from forming.
All right, that's a pretty straight-up buttermilk recipe. Let's throw in a curveball here now. A recipe I understand you developed for Bon Appetit using buttermilk. You can help me on the pronunciation here. Orecchiette?
It's orecchiette with buttermilk, peas, and pistachios.
I had those last words down. Orecchiette. Okay, talk about this. This is pasta, buttermilk, peas, and pistachios. This is quite a combo. How did you come up with this?
Yeah, so the inspiration behind this was just my love of like a creamy pasta that's made with heavy cream and peas and a little bit of Parmesan cheese. And in the springtime, I thought it would be nicer to have something a little bit lighter and tangier than to have a heavy cream-based sauce. So instead of bringing cream up to a boil in a pot, adding my peas to that and my cooked pasta to it, and then starting to stir in grated cheese, I used buttermilk instead there. So you sometimes will see in pasta recipes that they ask for you to use a little bit of the pasta cooking liquid along with some fat, some butter, or some cheese to create a really nice creamy thick sauce. And in the case of this recipe, you use buttermilk as that base.
That one sounds pretty good to me. And have you improvised on other pasta dishes now with that buttermilk-based sauce?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really specific kind of spring dish, which is actually great for this time of year. But at its very core, you could make something like a cacio e pepe or an Alfredo-type sauce. Just subbing out the buttermilk for the other kind of dairy that might be in it, like heavy cream or milk.
Oh, I like the sound of that because I like Alfredo sauce, and then sometimes I feel logy afterwards because it's such heavy-duty sauce. This will lighten it up for me.
Totally. The one thing you have to keep in mind when you're working with buttermilk at high heat like this is that buttermilk can have the tendency to break if it gets too hot. So you never want to actually boil the buttermilk. You want it to just gently warm up with the hot pasta, and you're never actually going to bring it to a boil so it doesn't break.
We're talking to Molly Baz on this week's edition of Food Friday. She's Senior Associate Food Editor at Bon Appetit. We're talking about buttermilk, how to use it, where to use it, what it is. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a buttermilk believer? What do you do with it? How do you use up that half a quart that you didn't use on the pancakes? Do you use it as a marinade? Do you make your own dressing with it? What kind of recipes do you use buttermilk in? Or do you have a question about what to do with it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and find a handful of recipes linked there that our guest has shared with us. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our Food Friday conversation about buttermilk. Molly Baz is with us, Senior Associate Food Editor at Bon Appetit. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And I'll tell you, I don't really do much with buttermilk. I was a little skeptical. I said to our producers, nobody out there is going to get excited about buttermilk. They don't do much with it. You could prove me wrong. Call in at 800-642-1234. What do you use buttermilk for in your cooking, in your baking? Do you have suggestions for other listeners on the best way to maybe use up that spare buttermilk they have left over? Or do you have a question for a guest about what to do with it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Molly, we had an email from Grant who says, my favorite use of buttermilk is to use it in baking yeasted barley bread. He says, I used 50% buttermilk, 50% water. It's delicious. Baking bread with buttermilk. I don't think I've ever heard of that. Have you?
I haven't. I've seen it in quick breads, so things like olive oil cakes and carrot cake loaves and things like that. But this sounds more like a savory bread.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested in trying that. Yeah, it actually sounds pretty good. Now, you mentioned carrot cake. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Molly.
Well, I was just going to say it sounds to me like it might provide some of that tang that we associate with sourdough without having to actually have a sourdough starter.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Now, you mentioned a carrot cake, and you happen to have shared Bon Appetit's best carrot cake recipe with us. We've got that linked at the Ideas Network Facebook page. What does buttermilk bring to the party there?
So there's a lot of fat in a carrot cake and in any cake. And so beyond what we discussed earlier, where the buttermilk is working to tenderize the baked good, it's also providing a little bit of tang, which is balancing all of that fat and sugar that's in the cake and therefore making all of the flavors come out a lot more.
Interesting. So that little, and you know, I think about that when I use acid in a lot of cooking, if I add, you know, vinegar to soup or whatever, that little bit of acid does bring out flavors in a lot of savory dishes. So it sounds like you're saying buttermilk is accomplishing part of the same task.
Totally. If you think about it, like the way you create a salad dressing where you're adding some acid to olive oil, which is your fat, and therefore both things end up tasting better because they're complementing one another. You can use acid in cooking in that way in many things and also in baking.
Well, I want to go to our callers. Looks like they've rallied in defense of Central Time producers here. We have full phone lines. Rosie is with us in La Crosse. Rosie, hi.
I just made a recipe this week that was from New York Times. Francis Lamb, who does The Splendid Table, came up with the recipe, I guess. And it's a roasted broccoli and roasted a mushroom grain bowl with basically a ranch dressing, which is, you know, uses buttermilk and mayo and herb and fresh herbs.
And you used it. How is it, Rosie?
It was wonderful.
And are you stuck with half a quart of buttermilk in your fridge?
I was stuck with two. I split it up into two half pints, and exactly that. And I put one in the freezer, and I don't know how that will work, but hey, we'll see. And the other one, it said that it would hold for maybe 2 or 3 days, and so a couple of days later, I still had enough ingredients left to make another batch, and we did that.
Sounds great, Rosie.
Deja vu all over again, and it was wonderful again.
Sounds great, Rosie. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, that's a good, easy, straight-up use for buttermilk, making your own ranch dressing, Molly.
Totally. Or a Green Goddess dressing could work, too. Or you could use it in a blue cheese dressing. So anywhere that you would otherwise find mayonnaise or sour cream, you could cut it with a little bit of buttermilk for some extra tang.
Thanks for that call, Rosie. And Molly, I don't usually freeze liquid dairy products. Any thoughts on how that's going to come out for her?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, although I can't say from experience that I've done it. I think in the thawing process, though, it could get a little bit funky.
All right. Good luck with that, Rosie. We'll go now to Glenn in Milwaukee. Glenn, hi.
Hi. I bought powdered buttermilk just because I didn't want to have the buttermilk sitting around, and I used it to make dressing and a couple other things, and I wanted to find out if the rules change, if you're trying to do the things that were discussed here with the powdered milk, buttermilk. Yeah, it's powdered and you add water and it worked great for the dressing.
So you use it for dressing, but have you tried baking with it, Glenn?
No, I'm not a big baker,
okay.
But I wanted to just find out if the properties change or if the rules are that were discussed here are the same.
Interesting. Molly, powdered buttermilk, have you taken a shot at that?
Yeah, I would say it's actually a really great product based on the fact that it's shelf stable, so no need to worry about what you're going to do with the rest of it. And it does work both in baking and in savory applications once you rehydrate it with either water or milk. So If you want something with a little bit more fat, you'll add milk to it. If you want something leaner, you'll add water. But then beyond that, it'll work the same way in baking.
And it seems like it'd be great for that when you want to marinate meat in it or whatever. It seems like that would be just fine, too.
Totally.
All right, Glenn, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Lisa joins us now in Marsden. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what'd you want to ask about, Lisa?
Can you really make buttermilk by adding vinegar to regular milk?
You touched on that a little bit earlier, Molly. We really can acidulate, was that the word, our milk into buttermilk?
Yeah, you totally can. It's not going to have the same flavor as a classic buttermilk would that was made from churned buttermilk that had been soured. But in a pinch, it will 100% work in baking. And even in salad dressings, because if you consider the fact that you're probably adding lemon juice or some kind of vinegar to a salad dressing anyway, it's not the worst idea to just add it to a little bit of milk in a pinch.
Fantastic. All right. Hope that helps you out, Lisa. We're talking about cooking with buttermilk and baking with it on this edition of Food Friday. Molly Boz is Senior Associate Food Editor at Bon Appetit. We'll go back to your calls now. Donna is with us in Greenfield. Donna, hi.
Hi. I wanted to say, lately I've been seeing buttermilk pies in the store, and I tried one, and it was really, really good.
Uh-huh. And so the buttermilk's in the crust, Donna? Is that what's going on there?
No, it's kind of like a pumpkin pie, but it's buttermilk pie.
Oh, so like buttermilk is part of the pie filling, it sounds like, Molly. That I don't think I've ever encountered.
Yeah, so you might have encountered this under the name chess pie.
Okay.
Which I think is a southern pie, but it's basically a custard with eggs, butter, sugar, and buttermilk. So it's baked into something not unlike a lemon curd or something like that.
Or like a sweet quiche almost. It sounds like you're making a custard and baking it, but it ends up being a sweet dish.
Exactly.
And did I see somewhere somebody talked about actually using buttermilk for quiche? What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea as long as there's some other fat present as well. Quiche to really have a lovely custardy texture, there needs to be a lot of fat in there. And so buttermilk tends to be pretty lean. So I would recommend adding a little bit of sour cream or some heavy cream or even creme fraiche if you're also going to use buttermilk, just because it doesn't have that same sort of unctuous, fatty nature.
Wow, you just solved another problem with me. I'm thinking back of the times I've made quiches with skim milk only, and it was okay, but it wasn't great.
Yeah,
that's going to solve my problem.
Something to be desired.
Awesome. All right. Hey, we're solving a lot of problems today. We'll go back to our callers. Ryan is on the line in Hillsboro. Ryan, hi.
Hi. I tried just this morning making a multi-grain savory yeast bread and added some buttermilk powder to it, and that turned out really good. But what I really wanted to tell you was that I also use fresh buttermilk to make a chowder, a fish potato corn chowder.
Ooh.
And it really works nicely. I make it a little bit spicy with some basil and garlic and olive oil and stuff like that.
That sounds fantastic, Ryan. Thanks for sharing that with us. And Molly, that reminds me, we've got one more recipe you shared with us, speaking of seafood, pan-seared scallops with chorizo and corn. Talk about what goes into this dish and how it comes together.
So I'm happy that he brought that up, because actually the base of that dish that you're referring to is not unlike a chowder. It starts with chorizo instead of bacon, but then there's garlic and onions and some chilies. And then you add corn to it and sort of sweat it down into this corn ragu. And to that, you add buttermilk. So in the way that you might add heavy cream or milk to a chowder, I've chosen to add buttermilk there to keep the dish a little bit lighter and allow the scallops to shine.
All right. We've got that linked again at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Time for at least one more caller. Rachel is with us in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I just wanted to say that thank you for opening my mind to all this buttermilk stuff, because I do, I help with educational activities for children during the early 1800s fur era stuff, and we teach children how to churn butter. So we have an excessive amount of buttermilk each Memorial Day. So we'll probably be using at least a gallon of buttermilk to make pancakes next weekend.
That's
so
coming
thank
up,
you for
yeah.
You know about that. Yeah.
So you've got the old-fashioned buttermilk, and you don't know what to do. That is fantastic, Molly. Have you ever churned butter yourself?
I have not, actually.
Me neither. But
sometimes.
In your understanding, I have no understanding of buttermilk at all. In your understanding, if we were actually using that stuff out of Rachel's butter churn, would we notice a difference between that buttermilk and the stuff we get in stores?
I think so, because back to what I was saying earlier about how buttermilk historically, when it's made from the byproduct of butter, is a very different product from that acidulated milk. So we're adding that sourness and that acid to it after the fact in the products that we get here. So I think that the sour factor might be a little bit different, and it totally depends on the type of dairy they're using. So I think it's probably a really incredible product, and I am excited for them to try to make pancakes with it.
Rachel, that's awesome. Glad we gave you some uses for all that buttermilk you're making, you know, just anyway. Molly, as we wrap up, any great uses of buttermilk that we haven't gotten to yet in our last minute or so?
I think the only thing we haven't touched on is how awesome buttermilk is when combined with meat as a marinade. So not only is it providing tang, but it is, through its acidity, tenderizing the meat. So a piece of meat that is brined in buttermilk versus a piece of meat that is brined in milk, like a piece of chicken, which then gets fried, the buttermilk brined chicken will taste so much more tender and fall aparty than the one that wasn't brined in it. It's a truly magical thing. So I think if you're left with some buttermilk and you're up to some deep frying, fried chicken in a buttermilk brine is one of the best ways to use it.
That's a great place to leave it. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Molly Boz, Senior Associate Food Editor at Bon Appetit. She joined us on this week's edition of Food Friday to talk about cooking with buttermilk. You can find links to 4 of Molly's buttermilk recipes that she shared with us over at the WPR.org/Food Friday. Again, WPR.org/Food Friday for buttermilk recipes and recipes from past editions of Food Friday along the way.